Hello and welcome. I'm Mark Wall. I'm a Principal Program Manager in the Identity and Security Services team at Microsoft, and we're going to be talking about Microsoft Identity Manager.
So good afternoon. I am Sharon Livand. I am a PM and Azure Active Directory product group. I'm going to talk together with Mark. So let's start. So we gathered here today because we wanted to tell you about our plans for Identity Manager vNext. And we wanted to tell you about, basically and generally, about the new capabilities we're going to add in Identity Manager. And not only that, we wanted to show you how these new capabilities are set up to make you have better enterprise securities and protect against cyber attack. Also, we want to show you how these new capabilities are going to prepare you better to the hybrid identity era when you have everything both on-prem and on-cloud. We also want to listen, not just to talk. We'll be glad to have your feedback. Meanwhile, the session, after the session, you can see us all around here. And finally, we're going to tell you a little secret, but it's going to be only in the end of this session. You'll have to wait until the end to hear this little secret.
So if you have any questions, you know, there's a microphone there, or you can come up and see us after the session or at the booth, the identity booth, and we'll also be in Ask the Experts. Now, in the interest of time, we've got a lot of material to cover. We're primarily going to be focusing on the new investment areas. So we're not going to talk a lot about, you know, Behold or Portal and things that we already have in Identity Manager. We're going to focus on a lot of new things. Okay. Now, what we are positioning for identity management is really that we provide these services, these capabilities, across both our on-premises and our public cloud hosted solutions. So you're all very familiar with Active Directory and Windows Server. It's been in the core operating system for more than a decade. And it's also a capability that we're continuing to add features for. So beyond the basic features that you're all very familiar with, like authentication and domain join, we've added new capabilities. We've enhanced our federation support. We've added support for multi-factor authentication. We've added a whole new capability, the web application proxy, for remote access. We're also providing identity and access management capabilities not only in Identity Manager, which is a new name for what we used to call Forefront Identity Manager or Identity Lifecycle Manager or Microsoft Integration Services, Microsoft Meta Directory Services, Certificate, all those other things. We got rid of all the older brands and now just have Identity Manager. All the capabilities we've seen in the past with Identity Manager, FIM, and so on, they're still there. We're not cutting things, we're not dropping things. What we're adding is not only new capabilities that we're talking about here in this session with Identity Manager, but also capabilities into our cloud service as well. Now, if you're not here, you're probably next door listening to Nasos's talk. Or if you are here, then afterwards, go to Channel 9 and listen to Nasos Kodakis' talk, where he's going to cover Azure Active Directory. You'll see a lot of the same capabilities, password reset, group management, and so on. That is intentional. We're not saying, well, you have to do one or the other for password reset or group management. It's that we're continuing to build out more capabilities in our cloud services that enable organizations who want a feature like password reset or group management, don't need a lot of the customization, integration capabilities that Identity Manager has. They can get to value quickly with the cloud. They can also integrate that with what they have today with Active Directory. And for those organizations who want to get started with a feature like password reset or group management or the base directory, but are concerned that they might need the rich capabilities of Identity Manager, that's covered. The Identity Manager product is still available standalone. You can buy that and CALS for it, or it's included as part of the Azure Active Directory Premium offering. So if you sign up for EMS or Azure Active Directory Premium, then the CALS for Identity Management come in as part of that, so you don't need to buy another copy. Now, how we're positioning it from a technical perspective is to ensure consistency. If you look on the components on the left of the screen, what we've been providing historically for more than a decade have been consistent access to information through Active Directory. Users with the right credential, whether it's a password, or a smart card, having access to applications through groups, through roles at the Crest and Behold. And we continue to support that model. What we've been adding is synchronization capabilities to bring that data that Identity Manager might put in, say from an HR system, into your Active Directory, from there into Azure Active Directory Premium, so it's available for more applications, so that those users, their access can apply not only to systems you have on-premises, like Lotus Notes or applications connected to an Oracle database, but also to cloud applications, those or those from third parties. We're also providing more and more bi-directional links between Azure Active Directory and on-premises. So we have write-back capabilities that we can send password changes, for example, back to on-premises. We also provide an application proxy that's in preview that allows a single view of all the applications on the access panel, both on-premises applications, existing Kerberos, Windows integrated auth kind of apps, alongside your cloud apps. And that's all governed by the same users and groups that a product like Identity Manager would put into your Active Directory environment.
Okay, so before we go into the investments, I'll go here because now I have to see you better. So before we go into investments, I just want to optimize the session for you, and we want to understand what's your knowledge level about Identity Manager. So I'm going to show here, maybe I'll take the pointer for a second. I'm going to go over the Identity Manager existing scenarios. I want to know what's the involvement here in the audience. So first, this is the architecture of this product, and we have a few scenarios, capability we already have today. This is before we talk about the new stuff. So we have identity provisioning and synchronization, which would be the basis for many other scenarios. So who here of the audience is involved or knows something about this existing module? Would you raise your hand? Pretty good. Great. So then you have group management. It could be self-service or admin-based group management. Someone is aware of this? Fine. It's the same. We have a password reset, which is a self-service. The same. Okay. Certificate management and role management. Anyone knows about it? A little less, but it's quite good. Okay, so in addition to all of this, we still have the flow management, the MPR, the workflows. So I just wanted to make sure that we are all on the same page here. And now we can really go to the new stuff, okay? So our investments for vNext, first, before we go to the real investments part, the schedule. So we are planned before the mid of next calendar year. And before this big release, we're going to have a preview release. We are going to update you about this later. And the investments are in three buckets, okay? We have, and these buckets are not by a mistake here. These buckets are well aligned with big movements in the IAM market. So first bucket is about privilege access management, and the rationale for this bucket is because you see more and more enterprises under attacks, under cyber attacks. You see it every week maybe in the news, another compromise, another big attack, another million of credit cards stolen. And the identity and access management is a really important part of this, because every attack or most of the attacks starts from a very small compromise of a client, and then it propagates into the enterprise, into the servers, and finally into identity management. And if you have compromised the identity management system, you actually control this enterprise. And this is what we are trying to protect from. And we are going to go into more details later on. Then another big movement is you see that many enterprises use SaaS applications. So if you use SaaS applications, you need cloud-based or something that can manage identity in the cloud, right? But still, you have your on-prem legacy system. So this is what we call hybrid, of course. So you need your identity and management system to be hybrid, to be able to manage things on-prem, things on the cloud, and to synchronize it and harmonize it all together. And this is what we call hybrid identity management. We are going to provide some more details later about what we are doing there. And last one is called here modernization. But actually, I like the naming I like more is ease of use. So here we add a few scenarios that first enables you to enjoy the other Microsoft products, the updated releases, like the server side, And in addition, some new scenarios, which makes this product much easier to use in the field of certificate management and self-service. So this is the high-level view of our investments, and now let's start with the privileged account management.
Yeah. So the biggest problem that we see is Active Directory is a vector for attackers. Now, if you were at my session yesterday, I covered this in a lot of detail. If you weren't at my session yesterday, the recording for that is already up on Channel 9. It's on the Enterprise Mobility Track, so you can watch that session. But let me just stress here what part of that problem we're focusing on with Identity Manager. The area that's of interest to the work we're doing alongside all the other teams in Microsoft is addressing the problem of privilege escalation and lateral movement. That a attacker, whether they're an insider or outside attacker, today has a number of tools at their disposal to elevate their access privileges from being someone with no rights at all to being an end user to then being an administrator of one kind or another. Maybe a domain administrator in AD, maybe an application administrator. And what we found in this diagram, and it illustrates it, is today, or at least in the past before we put out our patches, this time for the elevation is quite short. There's not a lot of time to react. There's not a lot of time to defend a situation where you have Active Directory that's under an active attack. So what we're focusing on with Identity Manager is augmenting the capabilities of Active Directory that help to protect administrative accounts of all kind. In particular, to ensure that administrator accounts are not easily available to the attacker. The attacker cannot simply find someone in the room who looks like they could be an Active Directory administrator and through one means or another steal their password or get them to run malware and then immediately have that person's administrative rights. So what we're going to be adding are new capabilities.
Sorry, Mark.
You can go. Keep going. Don't stop. And what we're adding are new capabilities for just-in-time admin access.
So how are we going to approach this? So when you look at the admins, you have to understand the picture. So what's the picture? If you go to big enterprises, you ask the chief of IT, for example, how many admins do you have? So the answer would be maybe 5, maybe 500. I don't really know, somewhere in the middle. It's a big problem that you don't really identify the admins. It actually divides into two parts. It's the accounts, the admin accounts, but also the personas, the persons who use these accounts. And sometimes it's not one-to-one because many persons may use one or more accounts. And then the mess starts. So first thing is to identify these admins. In some bigger organization, it's not going to be an easy task. It should be automated. And after you have all these admins identified, you have to protect them. What's the way to protect this admin? First of all, isolate them. Put them in another domain, in another place. Why do we want this? Because if some of them is compromised, it couldn't be propagated to other parts of the identity fabric. Second, you can require stronger authentication for admins. For example, multi-factor authentication, phone authentication, one-time password, whatever. The reason for this is because if an admin account is compromised and is being used by a malicious software, this malicious software would not be able, in many cases, to use the second-factor authentication. So, for example, if you require phone authentication, the malicious software could not answer the phone and type in a PIN code, right? So you are blocking the malicious software to spread and to propagate into the enterprise. After we have it all ready and set up, we know who are the admins, we have protected them in a few ways, now we have something new, and this is the operational part. We call it just in time. This is something we are going to deep dive into right now. So let's assume everything is okay, and you still have admin right and you are using it. Why do you need it all the time? You just need it to make a task. For example, if you are in a SharePoint admin and you want to make a maintenance task on a SharePoint server, you finish your task, you don't need to have this admin rights anymore. Why you don't have it? First, you don't need it to your work. And second, a malicious user can use it in the time that you are not using it. And this is why we call it just in time. It's not only this, it's not only the time, also the scope of privileges. So if you need to do a maintenance task in a SharePoint server, this is the only thing you need to do. You don't need to add accounts in this machine. You don't need to be able to restart it or many other tasks. So this is the what we call operate. The next step is about monitoring all it. So you can see who did what. So this is very important, especially in some cases that you don't have a correlation between persons and accounts. So you would like to know who's the real actual person who did the privileged action. The reason for that is because some of the attacks are from the inside. They're not malicious software done from the outside. There are very well famous cases like this. And then it all starts again because the picture changes. You have new admins, you have admins who quit or change jobs. So you still have to do this cycle again and again.
Right. We'll be seeing this not only in the on-premises environment with Active Directory, but also in a cloud environment as well. So many of the capabilities that we're adding in Azure Active Directory and Azure Active Directory Premium are basically analogs to what we're going to be talking about here today in Identity Manager and Active Directory on-premises. There's even some sessions later on this week by Dushant Gill on the role-based access control and by Grace Chandler on the Active Directory intelligence in our cloud services, how we're investing in the cloud to bring the same visibility and the same level of fine-grained authorization there as well. Let's go back to Identity Manager for the moment. So what we're focused on here are domain accounts. We want to ensure that users who have an account in an Active Directory domain somewhere, any of your forests, have the appropriate protection when they need to perform some form of administrative activity. So one part of that is appropriate authentication. If you're an ordinary end user, username and password might be sufficient for your needs. That's how you sign in from any device, check your email, and so on. If you also are an ordinary user but also an administrator, you might want to use a stronger credential when you're doing the administrative tasks. Maybe a password isn't really enough. Maybe you want to step up with multi-factor authentication or virtual smart card, some other form of authenticator. The second area, as Sharon mentioned, is the isolation of privileges. Today, we find for many of our customers who we work with, they would like to be able to have better control over what administrators can do and better monitoring for what they have done. So part of our investments here are using the familiar concepts, using groups, using roles in order to represent how users have access to resources. And we're aligning our work with that of other investment areas in Windows Server, and in particular Windows Server PowerShell called Just Enough Access, that allows an organization to restrict what capabilities an administrator has to ensure that they don't need to have local administrator accounts or even to have be in a local group of administrators in order to do system administration. We're also adding more logging, so it's easier to integrate what we do here with Identity Manager in with a SIEM system and with a monitoring tool. And finally, because we're using the FIM service framework for all this, all the customization capabilities that you're familiar with for scenarios like group management or password reset also apply here as well. So you can define different roles with different permissions, put those in different sets, have different categories for users, extend the schema, extend the workflows, put in approvals, whatever makes sense for your different administrator communities.
So I have a question here, Mark.
Yeah.
So how do you scope down not only the time of the privilege, of the privileges, but also the scope? I mean, what you are able to do?
Yeah, there's a couple ways you can do the scoping. One way is to scope by groups. Security groups are probably the way in which most of our customers will be doing that scoping. You'll be able to say, for example, that there'll be different groups tied to a domain, like domain admins might be a group. But you might have other groups in your environment that are used for administrative purposes. If you want to have even finer grain control than that, then yes, there's a number of ways of doing it. The Just Enough administration, that there was a session yesterday by Jeffrey Snover, covered that in a lot of detail, that gives you a lot more control. And we'll also be seeing more controls using groups, using access rights, not only here on premises, but also in Azure itself and in other SaaS applications. So next I'd like to talk a little bit about how we're actually building this out in an environment. And again, we go through this in a little bit more detail on the Active Directory side in the privileged access management session. So here today, I'm going to focus on the Microsoft Identity Manager parts of the environment. So let's start with the side on the left. You have existing Active Directory environments. They can be whatever version you want, you know, down level, Windows Server 2003, 8, whatever. And you have a group, security group, giving some user up on the left, or sorry, up in the center, called Gen, access to some existing application. You have an application that's maybe running on the domain join server, could be part of Windows itself, like the file system, could be a third-party application. And today, that application relies upon Active Directory, relies upon groups, it relies upon Kerberos to know, does Gen have access to this application, and what rights does she have? And you might have something like FIM today that's bringing users into Active Directory and populating them. Thank you. Now, most customers we found today, though, aren't using FIM for their administrative groups. They're primarily using FIM group management for things like end user facing groups, mailing lists, and so on. But we do have some customers who were, a few years ago, started using Identity Manager for managing not just the memberships of mailing lists and so on, but also the membership of highly privileged groups. And they gave us some ideas as we looked at those deployments of how you could use the FIM service and our workflows as a way of providing finer-grained access control based on time through security groups. So what we're adding is the components on the right. The privileged access management is a separate environment. It can be a separate forest that's based on some new capabilities in the next version of Windows Server going into Active Directory for time-limited group memberships. And Identity Manager will have workflow activities that know how to communicate with this Active Directory for putting a user into a group for a limited time. Now today, if you're familiar with FIM, you can use Sync and you can have a change go from FIM service to sync to Active Directory. And there's a sync delay, but it gets there. And then you can run another workflow in FIM or have a user make a change in the FIM portal, and that change propagates there as well. And for many scenarios, that works fine. Scenarios like we have a new hire, we want to put them in a group. A user makes a change request, it propagates, it goes in the system. For just in time, that model isn't applicable. So for the just-in-time, what we use is a more immediate path, I'll show in a moment, between the Identity Manager service and Active Directory. And that path uses a new feature in Active Directory of time-limited groups. So what we're going to be adding then is new policy in the upper right corner configured in Identity Manager. These are standard resource object types. They'll be very familiar to you. It's just a new schema in AD that represent the relationship between groups in an Active Directory forest and users who are candidates to be in that group. Today you have a group represented in the FIM service, if you use self-service group management, that has the current members. Now we're adding capability of having candidate members. This allows the environment of Active Directory and Identity Manager to enforce new rules, such as Jen is not in the resource admins group anymore, but she can request to be in because she's a candidate. So what happens? In the new environment, Jen will make an access request for Identity Manager to say, I would like to be put back in a group. I would like to take on a role that gives me one or more groups, gives me access to an application as an administrator. When the request goes into FIM, we'll run the workflows. Assuming everything passes, everything's okay. MIM will then communicate with Active Directory in this new privileged access management environment and give Jen's administrative account, what we see down here at the bottom in a Kerberos ticket, Jen admin access by being in a group for a limited period of time. It could be a few minutes, a few days, a few weeks. Jen then can use this Kerberos ticket for accessing applications that aren't even aware of this new system in place, that are still trusting their existing AD down level forest, will still be able to use this ticket, standard Kerberos, we haven't changed Kerberos at all, and be able to then say, yes, this Gen admin account is able to be an administrator, and that's how we can then limit the access. When this ticket expires, it expires when the Active Directory also takes the user out of the group. So MIM doesn't need to take the user out. User disappears automatically from the group memberships. So that, if an attacker comes in later, the attacker has no access rights because the account for Gen admin has no rights on it. It's not a member of any privileged administrative group, so the attacker is thwarted. The attacker has to go find somewhere else, has to go somewhere, keep looking around. And of course, all this will be monitored, so that gives you additional time in your IT security departments, more time to watch to see, is an attack in progress? Are there admins who the attacker is trying to compromise and failing because those admins don't have any access rights on their account?
So maybe it's the right time to take some questions here, because it's not completely trivial. Any questions?
Yeah. So if you have a question, come to the mic, let us know.
So I'll ask you a question.
Okay, what's the
question?
You know,
I like the tough questions.
Yes.
So what happens, for example, if the system on the right is broken, the server is down, so I cannot be admin anymore in my company?
Well, part of the architecture for this is architected for high availability. So what I've illustrated here is a simple block diagram, you know, one box, one triangle. In practice, what we'll be providing are the deployment tools and scripts that lay out across a number of servers the high availability resilient configuration, so that we won't have the same limitations we've had in the past with a sync architecture that's tended to require a manual failover step to go from one server to another in case the server is down. Here, because we're not relying upon sync for this process, Active Directory and the MIM service themselves have high availability capability based on top of SQL Server or the underlying database of Active Directory, so that if any one service is down, you still have the ability for an admin to make requests and for those requests to go back and be trusted by an existing Active Directory forest.
Great.
So let's now look inside. Oh, question. Yeah, so the question is a new time-based group membership part of Active Directory or part of Identity Manager? That's a core platform capability going into the next version of Windows Server. So it's not in a technical preview that went out a month ago, but in subsequent updates, you'll see that there is new capabilities that light up when you have Identity Manager and Active Directory that light up group membership. And that in the future, perhaps other tools that communicate with Active Directory will also be able to take advantage of this time-limited group membership feature. Okay. Let's take a look behind the scenes. What's inside this environment? So the architecture of identity management is pretty much unchanged. So if you've looked at FIM service before in the past, this will look very familiar. We have not changed the processing model at all. Instead, we've made some additions outside of the core service itself, and also we've added some new workflows. So what happens is we've added some new interfaces. I'm going to show some PowerShell. Sharon's going to show REST APIs for requests to come in from the end user when they want to be elevated, when they want to be put into an administrative group. So what I'll show in a moment is a PowerShell commandlet for a user to make a request, new request. That request goes into MIM service. And just like you're familiar, if you've seen one of us or one of my colleagues in the last 4 or 5 years give a talk on FIM service, you'll have seen this flow. We evaluate a policy. Is this user who's making the request authorized to make that request? Do you have a set definition that says, yes, this user is allowed to request elevation? Assuming so, we run an authorization workflow. The authorization workflow, first thing, writes to an event log, so that here it's now very easy to integrate Identity Manager with tools you might already have in your security departments that are looking at event logs, looking for warnings of particular attacks. Those tools don't need to be aware of the FIM, you know, request formats or anything. They can just look at a Windows event log in order to track what's going on. That authorization workflow can perform additional checks. And you can add your own workflow activities. So if you want to do approvals, if you want to have it call out of FIM, other things you can do with FIM workflow customization can be done here at the MIM service. Once that passes, then we have an action workflow. And the action workflow, again, logs what's going on, creates a PAM request in the MIM service database, so you have that history, can show up in your reports, and then communicates with Active Directory in order to put the user into a group with a time limit, the time limit depending on the role the user is requesting. Now, once this is done, which should only take, you know, a few seconds, then the user can go and make a request to an application using a Kerberos ticket that they get from Active Directory. So from here on, MIM steps out of the picture. MIM's done its job. It's put the user into a group with a time limit, and now it's up to plain old Active Directory. A user can go to Active Directory, can run as an elevated account, can find out what groups they're in, can now use those security group memberships for all sorts of day-to-day Windows administrative tasks.
Wait a minute, another question here?
Yes.
So, you know, I'm a very busy IT admin. I don't have time for nothing. So I'm a little worried with all this workflow. So
yes.
Let's say I have something urgent to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to wait for all this workflow, someone to approve me to be an admin again? I mean, it's pretty scary.
Well, it can be scary if you've configured it to be scary.
Okay.
So really what depends is how do you configure your different sets for your different user communities based on who the user is and what role they're requesting. So for example, you might configure one role for users who day-to-day are always making requests on the system, and they're coming from a well-known environment, they have the right authentication in place, and for those users, you might say, if they need to take on a role, or if they're working on a Severity 1 trouble ticket, no approval is required. But you might have an even bigger pool of users, people who only occasionally need administrative access, maybe once a week, once a month, once a year, maybe never. And for those users, you might have a different workflow put in place. So for those users, you might say, well, for them, I need to do an approval step, because they might be working on a lower priority activity, one that it's appropriate to do that additional authorization check for. It's not time sensitive, but again, it will still give them equivalent access at Active Directory at the very end.
Yeah, so if I use an auto-approval workflow, so what's the gain to use this? What do I gain? I mean,
You gain are a number of things. First of all, you get additional logging that's going on in the system. You have the more event logs of the requests coming in. You can track who's making the request, what they're requesting for. Again, you have the time-limited nature. And then third is, even if the workflow is auto-approved, for a human approval, you can put in additional authorization checks, such as, is this user coming from a trusted source? Do we know who they are? Maybe we could do something with MFA.
Cool.
So let's switch over and let's show you what it looks like. Do you want to switch over to number five?
Yeah.
Let's take a look. So this should look very familiar to you. Here we have our portal. And here in the portal, I'm showing you a request I made earlier. So this is what it looks like in the MIM service database. Basically, we have two objects. Here is representing a PAM request that's simply capturing who is requesting to take on a particular role in the system, and then what's the role itself. So let's take a look at the role. And the role schema is fairly straightforward. It's just another resource in MIM that captures what are the privileges. The privileges here are a security group. This looks fairly familiar. Here's a group. The group is empty. Group has an owner, just the administrator itself. And this is the group, or a set of groups, that the user will put into when they make the request. We also see the time to live, how long the user is allowed to be in this role by default before it expires. Here I've really limited it down to 2 minutes for a demo. And we can also see the candidates. So here we have one user, Jen, who's a candidate for this. And obviously, you can use all your standard FIM logic here to populate that list. You can have it be dynamic or static, depending on how you want to populate that. So that users come into the IT department, you can say, what role do they take on? Are they an administrator for a particular application? We'll be providing more guidance as we get closer to general availability of what are the right roles, how do you model this, as well as assistance for how do you then apply this to a real-world environment. A lot of organizations are multiple forests, so we'll be able to connect this up to multiple forests and then represent users and groups across all these forests and their access rights as roles. So that's what it looks like for the role administrator. Let me also show you what it looks like for the end user. It should be pretty straightforward, especially for IT. So here is one example of an interface. I'm using PowerShell here and just acting as an ordinary end user. And here, I won't ask you to read all this, but I'm basically showing that this user has no particular access rights. They're not an administrator on this box, but they can go and they can make a request. So you can get roles, so let's take a look at a role. So you can see that you have a role in the system, and let me just paste over making a request. Okay, so now I'm going to make a request. And what's going to happen now is my PowerShell is going to reach over to that FIM service configuration we just looked at, wake it up, and check the role, check the authorization. Is this user authorized to have access to this resource? Is the user going to then be able to take on a different user identity because of that? And what is the time in which it's going to be applicable for? So here, completed. Now, again, this is running at a demo on my laptop. So this is not, you know, performance demo. This is just illustrating the concept. I've got a lot of debugging turned on here. So now what happens, now I've made this request. Well, I can switch over to another user account because I might be running as, you know, Gen user here. I'm doing all sorts of stuff, reading emails, surfing the web. I don't want that account that could have gotten infected with malware through however knows what means to be the one that I then use with the administrative privileges. So the other subtle part here is I've made the request, but I'm going to use the privileges on another account. Now you see me typing a password here. That's just because I'm running on a VM on my laptop, so I don't have access to a TPM chip. I don't have access to a virtual smart card. Again, you might say that I don't need to have approval if I can provide a stronger authentication check that the user is really who they say they are, that they're on the device with the TPM, or that they're answering the phone when they make a they answer the phone when Azure MFA makes a call. So now what we can see is, I can type properly, that the user is now in additional security groups, and based on this, they can do all sorts of things. They can use the PowerShell Just Enough administration, they can access files on the file system as administrator, and these group memberships are going to expire after 2 minutes, they're now about a minute 30, and also the Kerberos ticket itself is going to expire as well, so that those memberships will go away. If the user then tries to do this, you know, in a minute, 2 minutes from now, does this exact same process but didn't make another request, they won't have those group memberships. So that's the simple interface for PowerShell. You know, one command to get you a role, another command to get you elevated into it, and now you're done. Now, PowerShell is what we provide because it aligns well with our overall Windows Server strategy with just enough administration. But if you want to integrate it in with, you know, your own applications, custom portals, we're also going to add a REST API as well.
Okay, so not all of admins are using PowerShell all day. So we also have another way to make this elevation. Elevation is what we call going into privileged group and being able to do some privileged actions. So another way to do this elevation on the end user part, which is also happens to be a cert of an admin, is using a portal or something very nice in a graphical way. And also, it's all based on a REST API, a new REST API that we have introduced. So let me show you how it works. So here we have a machine with the Active Directory. And we have a file admin security group just for demo. Right now, there is a fixed constant administrator inside. But we want to elevate another person called Jen. So Jen wants to be a file administrator role. Jen is logging in into this portal and submits a request. This GUI is just a demo, right? It's not our GUI. It's the purpose is to show how the REST API is used. So you see I have it's auto-approval. I have success. And now when I go back to the group, I can see Jen inside this group. She wasn't here before, but now she is here. If you look at under the hood here, so you can see the REST API. So you can see that it's all based on very simple to literally read here is based on a post HTTP request with the ID of this role, and you get an OK and approving you to get into this role. So this is just a small example of how it works.
Now, does this mean we have a REST API for all of the FIM scenarios? You know, everything you could do with FIM, you can do with REST now?
So we're not there yet, but we have, for some of them, we have, yes, his question is more important.
Oh, okay. Are we going to break our compatibility with FIM 2010 API web service? No, we're not going to break it. So the path is today in FIM service, we have a interface based on WS Trust, WS Transfer, WS Enumeration. In MIM vNext, we'll have all that same interface will be there. We're also adding REST APIs, to answer my own question, for first the PAM scenario, and also for what we'll see later for certificate management as well. This is an incremental addition so that you can get some feedback. We can give us some feedback on the REST API. We can evolve it. We can try it out. And then ultimately, this will go alongside the current web services interface. So If you have built a client for FIM before, it's still going to work. And if you're going to do some new development and don't want to learn WS Transfer, if you want to like wrap what we saw here into your own custom portal, it'll be easier for that, for first PAM, and then later for some of our other scenarios. Other questions? Yes. So the question was, will the user, when they get a temporary group membership, need to wait for an 80 replication delay before they can log on with their new group memberships? So in the architecture that we're working on, that we kind of hinted at here today, and we provided more guidance on, the group membership is done in a separate forest environment that is distinct from your existing Active Directory domains. So in this separate environment, which is only for administrators, the settings are different. The inter-server replication interval is much shorter because we know that the only changes ever going on in this environment are group membership changes for administrators and obviously any new administrators coming or going, or status of administrators. So because of that, the time for replication between these is dramatically reduced. It could be milliseconds rather than minutes or hours. So we believe that all up, the part of the process will be that the user will be directed to a domain controller that has their group memberships in their site. The changes will be directed to that appropriate site. So when the user then goes and takes on their new administrative identity, for making whatever changes they need to do, those groups will already be there and waiting. Other questions?
Okay, so here's just a snapshot of this API. In case this font was too small before, you can see it's based on a very straight REST API and JSON body content. This is a sample of the sample portal, a way you can implement it. Of course, you can implement it any other way you want or integrate it into an existing company portal.
Yeah, so this portal is basically our code sample. So we'll put it out on CodePlex or whatever when it's wrapped up. And that'll be the example for then how you can integrate this in with your own portal. Or if you like our portal, then you could use that as well.
So basically, we are done with the privilege account management. So are there any questions to wrap up this topic today? No. OK, so our next investment theme is about hybrid identity management. And here we have four big things that we are working on. So first one to mention is Office 365 integration. So as you know, currently FIM can use Exchange Server to send emails, to send notification, even to do some group management. So what we want to do is to integrate it with online Exchange Server. So you'll be able to send notification through cloud-based Exchange, and also eventually to maybe synchronize contacts from Exchange and things like that. Next part, we are going to drill down into three others things. It's a hybrid sync, into hybrid reporting, and self-service password reset, SSPR, with Azure phone authentication, with Azure MFA.
Yes, let's start with reporting. So who's deployed the FIM reporting in FIM 2010 R2? A few of you? Not as many as I'd like to see. So we have, if you haven't looked at it before, put reporting into FIM 2010 R2. This reporting capability illustrates in very tiny letters here changes that are going on in the FIM service. So requests, users joining groups, users changing, configuration objects in FIM changing. And that data is taken from FIM and sent to the System Center data warehouse that's part of System Center Service Manager. And then these reports, as you see here, surface in the System Center Service Manager console. So if in your organization you had IT pros who were familiar with FIM, and familiar with SQL, and familiar with System Center, and knew a little bit about data warehousing, you were ready to go. You had everything available to you. You could just start knocking these things out, customizing the reports. If you didn't know a lot about System Center, data warehousing, schema, customization, and SQL, then it was a little bit hard to get started. So the data is there, the reports are there, customization is there, but we thought, what can we do to make this a little bit easier for people who just want to report and don't want to have to go install System Center? Even though we gave a System Center license grant as part of this for Service Manager, mere technology is not enough. And then we saw, well, what's that team next to us doing in the cloud in Azure Active Directory? They're building some reports.
Yeah, so you can see it in preview already. So you have AAD reports, different type of reports. Some of the reports are for AAD, some of them are from for AAD Premium. But the latest two additions are very important. So we have now a report for a password reset activity, which is cloud-based, AAD-based, and also group management, which is AAD-based. But we also have some of these reports back on-prem. So why do we have it in two separate reports? I mean, it would be quite annoying to look at these reports once in the on-prem, once in the cloud. So what we want to do is integrate it and have hybrid reporting. So you'll have one place to see all your identity management reports. And this is going to be AAD-based. And this movement has a few benefits. So currently, again, if you, for example, you have a scenario like a self-service password reset, you can implement it both on-prem, theme-based. You can implement it both on AAD, AAD-based. So if you want to track a specific person, you'll have to go to both reports. But if you make it hybrid, you'll have it all integrated into one report. So it'd be much easier to track one SSPR activity, which may have happened on-prem or on-cloud. This is one advantage. Another one is the deployment, like Mark mentioned. So instead of installing any type of reporting infrastructure, like a SQL, like SSRS, or a system center, whatever, instead of installing all of this heavy infrastructure on-prem, you can just leverage the one that exists already in the cloud. So it's the deployment is going to be basically just clicking a button. It's a big difference from today. Another advantage here is that when we want to add on-prem reports, usually we do it attached to big theme or now identity management releases. So you don't have to wait too much time. So we can collect feedback. For example, someone needs a new report. It would be much easier to implement in cloud and just shoot it. You can access your AAD portal, and you have the new report for theme there. Last one is making custom reports. So making custom reports is not easy generally, but it's also not easy here in theme. The way we design it now, the architecture is based on a few components that is aimed to make it much easier for you to generate custom reports. And it's always a very good user interface based on AAD. So this is, I think, some very good points and motivations for us to move to hybrid reporting. And this is how it looks like. So the reports we are aiming at are going to be combined. So you have, for example, an activity here. SSPR registration, you can see who did it, John Smith, and where he did it, like in AAD portal, okay? But later on, you can have SSPR attempt or another registration, which could be both. MIM here stands for Identity Manager, Microsoft Identity Manager, just as an example here. So it could be done on another on-prem system. So this is the way you have it all combined, and if you want to do what, for example, John Smith did, you have it all together here in one report.
So we'll have an initial set of reports that will be part of the Azure Active Directory experience when we deliver MIM 2015. And then if you have additional reports that you'd like to see, you'll let us know. If you have any feedback for that as we go into a preview later on, then you take a look and see, because we can add new reports, as Cheryl mentioned, fairly quickly compared to in the past where you had to wait for a full release.
Yeah, so let's talk a little about hybrid synchronization and provisioning?
Right. So there's been a lot of confusion, you know, across all the different synchronization technologies that we have at Microsoft. So if you go today and think about, you know, which sync is the right sync to use, then we're working to clean up, make sure we have very clear recommendations for that. But the first step, take a step back, is before we talk about synchronization, let's talk about really what do we do in MIM, what do we do in other components around the difference between provisioning and synchronization. And really all starts with the policy. What is the policy that you want to have your all-up IT systems following? So here's one example of a simple policy. You know, all employees get access to some apps and a few employees get access to other apps. And this kind of policy is intended to be represented in a system like Identity Manager that looks at many different systems and brings them into convergence. some people have kind of referred to Identity Manager as a system for convergence, or convergence engine more so than a sync engine, because ultimately we want to ensure that all the different systems that you see up here, all the different applications, all the different stores, are aligned with each other. Now, what happens in practice, of course, is a lot of the ways in which your provisioning policy is expressed are through rules about what happens when there's an event. So new user joins, new employee joins, what happens? We bring that data from HR into Identity Manager. We can send it to various directories, various databases, and run additional workflows like notifying the manager. And of course, all the backend policy as well, which is, you know, when someone leaves, you can go and run a policy for cleaning them up, taking them out of all the different systems. So we have connectors today for Identity Manager for a lot of different systems, you know, for different databases, different directory servers, package applications like Notes, as well as generic interfaces like PowerShell or web services that are intended to talk to many different systems. Some people have asked us if we're planning on building like a Salesforce connector for FIM or a Workday connector for FIM for Identity Manager. And we're not planning on doing that. Not because these systems aren't important, or not because the scenario is not important, but because we have a different architecture for connecting with cloud applications. So FIM and now MIM continue to work just fine. If you have sync rules, if you customized FIM, you can keep doing that. And the value that we add is through the new technology, Azure Active Directory Sync, which continues to add out more capabilities. Azure Active Directory Sync replaces the DIR sync we have today. It also replaces a lot of the, I would say, basic identity onboarding scenarios that FIM and the AAD connector could do, and is our new strategy for synchronization. AAD Sync, if you've seen some of the sessions from Andreas, watched his presentations, or downloaded the previews in the past from Connect, you'll have seen that AAD Sync represents some really exciting new architecture for synchronization logic. We've rewritten a lot of the different processes around the synchronization flows. Is Azure AD Sync a component of the next version of MIM? No, and there's a good reason for that, which is Azure Active Directory Sync is not a drop-in replacement for everything that FIM Sync in FIM 2010 or FIM 2010 R2 could do. Sync rule language is different, configuration is different, and so on. So instead, in MIM 2015, MIM and its built-in sync capabilities will be approximately the same as what you saw in FIM 2010 R2 with the addition of new connectors for different systems, the PowerShell connector, generic LDAP connector, SQL connector, and so on that we've done subsequent to that. That will allow you to very easily upgrade from FIM 2010 or 2010 R2 or even ILM to MIM. We want to make sure that no one is left behind. So if you upgrade, all your sync logic keeps working. The sync model is the same. Ultimately, beyond the next version, Azure Active Directory Sync and that technology will expand and will encompass not just what FIM Sync could do, but also connections to the cloud, to Azure Active Directory, as well as to many other on-premises systems. So the future direction is to move towards one synchronization solution. The future direction for the technology is what you're seeing today in Azure AD Sync. And if today you want to say, I just want to get data from AD into the cloud, then Azure Active Directory Sync is the technology for this. Ready for that scenario, can move the data, can work across for us, and we're going to continue to grow that out. If you have FIM Sync with the AD connector, we'll still support you. We're not going to drop support for the AD connector because of this. But if you're planning a new deployment, then Azure AD Sync will be the new component going forward. Now, next year, when we release the next version of Identity Manager, the two will coexist side by side. For some scenarios, you'll use Microsoft Identity Manager because it has the workflow hosting capability, connectors to the FIM service, connectors to all the other platforms on premises, and it'll be a very natural upgrade path from what you have with FIM or FIM 2010 R2 today. And then alongside of it, you can use Azure Active Directory Sync for taking the data from FIM and setting it up to Azure Active Directory so it's then available to the other SaaS applications or cloud apps, and in the opposite direction as well. More and more data will be flowing back from the cloud through Azure Active Directory Sync to your on-premises environment. So you can start applying those same kind of policies as well in this environment when the two come together. And then later on, after this next release, we'll converge to a single sync solution.
So basically, this slide sums up all together. So today, I'll make it just a sort of recap. So you have today, you have Deer Sync, you have AAD Sync, and you have Theme Sync, including the Azure AD connector. And the next calendar year, we are going to have Deer Sync deprecated. You're going to have Azure AD Sync, which is going to be the main engine to provision from on-prem to cloud. And later on, also the write-back part. And in MIMSync, it's going to be basically unchanged, but also still support the AD connector. The roadmap is, like Mark said, having just one unified sync solution.
Okay. And if there's any questions, there's obviously myself or Andreas, Nasos, many people here who can talk about sync and your sync scenarios, either after this session or on the show floor. Now let's talk about one of our other hybrid scenarios.
Yeah, so another hybrid scenario is we have both authentication capabilities on-prem and on-cloud. One of the more interesting authentication capabilities is Azure MFA or phone authentication. And we just want to demo it all today. So it's not just slideware today. So what we have here is a Theme machine. And I have here open the self-service password reset. So I'm just going to type in my username. And in this case, so we'll have to refresh.
Who's seen this error? Actually. Service is timed out.
That's strange. Okay, let's try again. So in this case, we have, for example, well-known gate. These are three questions. But then we have another GOAT, which is the new one. This is the phone authentication. So I'm supposed to get a phone call now to my phone here. So I just got a phone call from Azure who asked me to type in a sort of PIN. In this case, it's quite simple. It's a hash key, and now I've got authenticated, okay? And now I can use this screen to make a new password reset. And what is nice here that this new authentication gate can be used for many other sensitive scenarios, not just for password reset. For example, we can use it for admin authentication, mm-hmm. like Mark mentioned before. And we do intend to do it, and for many others.
Right. You can integrate the Azure MFA with ADFS, remote access, and, of course, it's part of our cloud services. So if you want to use it for users in Azure AD there as well. So we've had different authentication gates for self-service password reset in FIM in the past, and so now this again just makes it a little bit easier. You've seen if you looked at FIM 20 in R2, you could write an integration with a custom SMS provider, and that's still there. But here, if you just want to use the Azure MFA service, it's a drop-in. It's not any kind of customization or custom coding required.
Yeah, and from the admin side, it looks like the regular experience that you have here. So you have, for example, in this case, you can see the admin screen. So you have the Q&A gate, and then you just add another gate. Which is the phone. So it's really pretty easy to define it. In this phone gate, you can define the policy, for example, if the user can define his own phone number or either it's predefined by the admin. You have some parameters to play with and decide about your policy, whether it's more strict or less one. So now we are done with the hybrid part. Are there any questions till now about this? Mark, do you have any question?
No, that seemed pretty straightforward.
Okay.
Part of that sync part. The sync part was confusing.
Okay. So let's go on. Next part is the modernization part. So let's start with the basics. First, we have modernized all the platforms that Theme is relying on. So we start from the Windows Server. It's going to support Windows Server R2. And obviously, not only this, but also the vNext, because now we have all the PAM story, the privileged account management that Mark showed before, and it should work, as mentioned, with the Windows Server vNext. So we are well aligned with the Windows Server and all the other infrastructure like SQL, SharePoint, Exchange, also Visual Studio to develop add-ons and connectors. So this is the modernization part. Next part is about self-service account unlock. So here we want to introduce a new scenario. You have seen before the password reset scenario, which usually the story is you go to a vacation, you may drink too much alcohol, you come back, you forgot your password, you want to reset it, and then you make it with the self-service. But there is another scenario, which is a little different. You, for example, change your password, okay, and you've just changed it, you go to lunch, you go back, and your account is locked. Why is it? Because you forgot to change it on your mobile phone, okay? So your mobile tries to log in again and again and again to the account until it's locked, if the policy is defined like this. And then you're pretty upset and you may try to change your password again, but it may require a little time because the password policy is complex. You have to make it 8 characters with capital letters, with normal letters, with numbers, with asterisks, whatever. It's going to take you half an hour to figure out a new password. Pretty upsetting. So what we want to do here is a self-service password unlock. So you're going to do authentication gates, which are quite similar to the password reset, but the end result is going to be not a change of the password, but just unlocking the account. Of course, meanwhile, we can fix the password in your mobile phone, and then it's all going to work. This is another investment. And last part I want to talk about here today is about the Moderna. So we have a certificate management component, which is used to make a self-service and admin-based management of the certificates lifecycle, beginning from provisioning certificates to deprovisioning, to change certificates, PIN code, to renew everything. So what we have added is a few points here. First one is a modern app that enables you to do it in a self-service manner. It runs on all the Windows devices, including Surface. And the nice part here is that it's all based on a modern REST API. It's aligned with your question before. So it's based on a new REST API that are protected by OAuth. And here you have another benefit that you can use this API to develop your own new CM portal here. So if you are not satisfied with the existing CM portal, you can use the API to develop a new one or integrate it into company portal or anything you want to do.
So if you looked in our history over the last couple of releases, you see that each release we pick a particular area to focus on. With FIM 2010, of course, it was the new experiences in FIM Service and FIM Portal. With R2, we added reporting, we brought in Behold. But in those releases, especially in R2, we didn't really make a lot of changes in Certificate Manager. So this is Certificate Manager's turn to shine. We're going to be making a lot of investments here in the CM area. That's not to say we're neglecting the others. We're adding APIs to Behold. We're doing lots of other things beyond this. But this is an area that we felt was time to update, get rid of the ActiveX dependencies, and get it ready for new scenarios, things like virtual smart cards.
Yeah. Another part here is that as opposed to the past, the CM server could work now in parallel with a few forests. So until now, it was one forest support. It's another addition. It's good for big organizations who has a few forests. And let's just demo it. So the main thing I want to show you is the new experience. So if you are familiar with the current existing certificate manager, oh, sorry, the wrong machine. So it's not final yet. It's just still in work. But when you go into this modern app, you're going to see all of your existing certificates in a very graphical mode, and you can do some actions. For example, you can renew, you can remove in some virtual smart cards. Just a second. You can also change your PIN code if you want, or reset your PIN code. And in addition, you can add new certificates. So this is pretty straightforward. You can add virtual smart cards, physical smart cards, in case you have the required hardware, and normal software certificates. This is pretty cool. And going back to the PowerPoint,
Yeah, so with this, we broaden the range of device support, because before, as I mentioned, we relied upon an ActiveX control to interact with the underlying operating system, and that had a lot of platform limitations. It was, what we heard, somewhat difficult to deploy and didn't support our new modern application model for Microsoft applications. So the new application model, as we'll see here, is what you'd see for many others. It's going to be a store application, and it interacts natively with the platform, and it works across a broader range of Microsoft platforms beyond just, you know, the Windows desktop.
Yeah, and I want to show how it all works, but before I go into the technical details, I just want to tell you a personal story I just had in the last weekend. So I was stuck out of office and needed to connect to the corporate with a VPN, but my virtual smart card, which is used to VPN and DA, was expired. So I couldn't log into the corporate to renew it because I don't have a VPN. So it's pretty a bad situation. But I really used, we have an internal dog food for this modern app, and I really used it to renew my virtual smart card. The reason I could do it, because it's all working now, is based on ADFS authentication. So what happened here, I just opened the modern app. The modern app authenticated me against the ADFS, so it's internet facing. So I could get authenticated and go to the FIMCM server and get a new virtual smart card, which was installed into my TPM on my PC. And I think this is a great value addition here, because before that, you should have been inside the corporate to install something. But sometimes when you really need a new certificate is when you're out of the corporate.
Yeah. So this is exactly the same model as what we've done with FIM 2010, and FIM 2010 R2 with the self-service password reset as a web-facing experience. Here again, we're lighting up virtual smart cards for users who aren't on the physical network anymore. They can be roaming, they could never come into the office and still manage their strong credential as well as managing their password.
So this is another screenshot. You have seen how it works. So it's going to be all very graphical to handle the certificates. And basically we are done.
Right, so what we've been covering today has been just a quick scan over all the capabilities. Now we had a question here. You want to do the question?
Could you repeat that? Sorry.
The question was, do you support multiple profiles on a virtual smart card? Oh, I'm sorry, on a physical smart card.
So no, right now it's not supported, but we have it on our backlog.
Any other questions? Okay, so what to do next? So if you weren't at my session before, as I mentioned, take a look at the session Channel 9 recording for privilege access management, because the privilege access management is a new capability that we're building just in time into Active Directory. And in that session, I talk a little bit about the investments on the Active Directory side, which MIM is going to be taking advantage of. Now, again, you can find both of us on the show floor, and if you want to know more about what we're doing, where we're going to be going with this product and with these technologies all up, the familiar places for Active Directory. So there's an Active Directory blog that we update. We just had a blog post go out for the Active Directory proxy, a new capability that we added there just yesterday, and their download site. If you have been part of the previews for FIM 2010 or FIM 2010 R2, you probably remembered you went to Connect. That same Connect site is the Connect site we use for all of our previews like this. So the AD Sync previews have been on there, and anything we do in the future around MIM, it'll be that same Connect site. So if you haven't gone to Connect, haven't signed up for Connect, you should do so. Requires a simple agreement, doesn't require you to have an NDA or EA or anything, but that's how we'll be engaging with you, so you can give us feedback, you can communicate, you can take a look at things as we make them available through Connect, and then the announcements will be on the AD blog.
So I just want to add a point here. In the beginning of the sessions, I promised you to show our new investments and some demos and a small secret. So now is the time for the small secret. So it was also mentioned yesterday in your presentation that we are going to have soon a public preview of all of the things that we have discussed here. So just stay tuned. It's a matter of days. We're going to have a public preview. You can all download it and see it, and it's going to be pretty awesome.
So we're going to be doing a new set of previews around scenarios. Watch the blog. The blog will let you know when it's coming. If you have any questions, be sure to come up and talk to us. Our last slide is talking about where else you should go. So I mentioned my talk earlier, but there's some other really important content. Take a look at the Channel 9 recording. by Nasos Kadakis, because it's going on right now next door, on a cloud identity. If you want to know more about what's going on in our environment, be sure to take a look at the AAD Connect sessions that Andreas Hillman and Aaron Devere have been presenting. We've also been making a lot of investments in multi-factor and in other services building on top of this identity platform. And then finally, on Friday, we have a session by Bruce Chandler on the Active Directory intelligence. And this is important because one thing we're looking at is how can we help organizations get more insight into what's going on in their environment, not only in the cloud, but also in the on-premises world as well. So if you have not looked at the Active Directory reporting capability or read about the machine learning capability used in Azure Active Directory, you should definitely go to Girish's session or watch his recording, because all the work we're doing for the cloud around reporting and machine learning to determine, are there attacks going on, are there patterns, do users have appropriate access? We also want to provide those for your on-premises environments for using FIM, MIM, and Active Directory. So these are some key concepts. Even if we're not going to deliver those right away for FIM, we're going to test them out in the cloud, we want to have it apply to your on-prem resources. And finally, be sure to fill out your evaluations. With that, I'd like to thank you.
Thank you, Mark.